All I say is based on the Word of God. If you think I'm incorrect biblically, then let me know. Go to my website, churchandstatelaw.com. There you'll find contact information. Let me know where you think I'm wrong. I do not believe that you can show me where I'm wrong. I believe I'm teaching what the Word of God teaches. Only if you believe in covenant theology or certain tenets of covenant theology can you get around what I'm saying. And then those portions of covenant theology and covenant theology itself come about as a result of a non-literal interpretation of Scripture. Now, I don't believe everything in the Word of God should be taken literally, of course, in the sense that there are metaphors, there are personifications, there are figures of speech. But when the plain meaning is evident, then that meaning should be taken. We shouldn't make Israel the church or the church Israel, for example. And that's what one theology does. And that theology, my dear friends, has resulted in horrendous persecutions of other believers over the last couple of thousand years. Christians have greatly contributed to the decline of America's churches and to the decline of America herself by ignoring the things that I'm going to be talking about in these broadcasts. Now, on down the line in these broadcasts, I'll be explaining to you in much more detail what I just said. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I come to you in the name of Jesus, the name that's above every name. I ask, Lord, that you would guide and direct what I say on this broadcast, that it would uplift and glorify your name and bring you pleasure. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to talk about the subject. God desires nations to choose to glorify him. I'll be quoting a lot of scripture. I could quote a whole lot more scripture, but I just want to give you enough to get founded in this principle that God's desire is for the nations, the civil governments that he has ordained, to operate under him and his principles. God did not create man and all that there is and step back and say, okay, man, I've given you good reason. You have all you need to solve all your problems. Now go ahead and bring in my kingdom. It didn't work that way, my dear friend. God wants men to choose to operate under the principles he's laid out in his word, and he makes that very clear in his word. The Bible, especially in the Old Testament and also in the New Testament, deals extensively with nations and shows that God ordained nations, that he is over every nation, but that he gives every nation a temporary choice of whether to submit itself to the sovereign God. The following verses that I'm going to be quoting, among many others, prove that God is over all nations and wishes each nation to choose to glorify him. Remember that Genesis chapter 8 and 9 records the fact that God ordained the nations. We've already been through a study of those verses. Deuteronomy 32:8 says this, when the Most High divided to the nations their inheritance, when he separated the sons of Adam, he set the bounds of the people according to the number of the children of Israel. I suggest you read Psalm 2 in its entirety, but I'm going to read Psalms 2, 10 through 12. Be wise now, therefore, O you kings. Be instructed, ye judges of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry and ye perish from the way, when his wrath is kindled but a little. Blessed are they which put their trust in him. Psalms 9:17 says, the wicked shall be turned into hell and all nations that forget God. Psalms 11:3 says, if the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? Psalms 100:1-3 says, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people, and the sheep of his pasture. Psalm 113:4 says, the Lord is high above all nations, and his glory above the heavens. Proverbs 14:34 says, righteousness exalteth a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. Proverbs 20:26 says, a wise king scattereth the wicked, and bringeth the wheel over them. Proverbs 20:28 says, mercy and truth preserve the king, and his throne is upholden by mercy. Proverbs 25:5 says, take away the wicked from before the king, and his throne shall be established in righteousness. Proverbs 29:2 says, when the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice, but when the wicked beareth rule, the people mourn. And of course, we determine whether a person or a king or anyone is wicked or righteous by the word of God. And really, there is no one righteous, as the Bible teaches us, except as he has put on the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to read now from Isaiah 40, verse 15, verse 17, verses 22 through 24, and verse 26. Behold, the nations are as a drop of a bucket, and are counted as the small dust of the balance. Behold, he taketh up the isles as a very little thing. All nations before him are as nothing, and they are counted to him less than nothing in vanity. It is he that sitteth upon the circle of the earth, and the inhabitants thereof are as grasshoppers, that stretcheth out the heavens as a curtain, and spreadeth them out as a tent to dwell in, that bringeth the princes to nothing. He maketh the judges of the earth as vanity. Yea, they shall not be planted, yea, they shall not be sown, yea, their stock shall not take root in the earth. And he shall blow upon them, and they shall wither, and the whirlwind shall take them away as stubble. Lift up your eyes on high, and behold who hath created these things, that bringeth out their hosts by number. He calleth them all by names by the greatness of his might, for that he is strong in power, not one faileth. Jeremiah 7:28 says, But thou, Jeremiah, shalt say unto them, This is a nation that obeyeth not the voice of the Lord their God, nor receiveth correction. Truth is perished and is cut off from their mouth. I suggest that you read all of Jeremiah chapter 7. Jeremiah chapter 18, verse 7 through 10 says, At what instance shall I speak concerning a nation and concerning a kingdom, to pluck up and to pull down and to destroy it? If that nation against whom I have pronounced turn from their evil, I will repent of the evil that I thought to do unto them. And at what instant I shall speak concerning a nation and concerning a kingdom to build and to plant it? If it do evil in my sight, that it obey not my voice, then I will repent of the good wherewith I said I would benefit them. Paul, speaking to those at Lystra who would have worshipped Paul and Barnabas because Paul healed the impotent man on his first missionary journey, said, as recorded in Acts 14, verses 15 through 17, And saying, Sirs, why do ye these things? We also are men of like passions with you, and preach unto you that you should turn from these vanities unto the living God, which made heaven and earth and the sea and all things that are therein, who in times past suffered all nations to walk in their own ways. Nevertheless, he left not himself without witness, in that he did good and gave us rain from heaven and fruitful seasons, filling our hearts with food and gladness. Paul said in his sermon on Mars Hill, as recorded in Acts 17, verse 24, and in verses 26 through 31, God that made the world and all things therein, seeing that he is Lord of heaven and earth, dwelleth not in temples made with hands, and hath made of one blood all nations of men for to dwell on the face of the earth, and hath determined the times before appointed and the bounds of their habitation, that they should seek the Lord, if haply they might feel after him and find him, though he be not far from every one of us. For in him we live and move and have our being, as certain also of your own poets have said, for we are also his offspring. 1 Timothy 6:15 says, Which in his times he shall show who is the blessed and only potentate, the King of kings and the Lord of lords. Yes, my dear friends, God is allowing us to play our little games as individuals, families, churches, and nations on earth right now. But there's going to come a time when every individual will bow down to God himself and give an accounting. And the accounting will be what he has done with the Lord Jesus Christ. Obviously, civil governments still exist and still have responsibility under God to rule for him. But he gives every civil government a choice of whether to go by his or Satan's principles. Roger Williams wrote this, The civil magistrate ought to cherish as a foster child the Lord Jesus in his truth and his saints, to cleave unto them himself and to countenance them even to the death. Yea, also to break the teeth of the lions who offer civil violence and injury unto them. As we will learn later on, Roger Williams was the man most responsible for the establishment of the first civil government in the history of the world to have religious freedom. Sadly, civil governments do not choose, at least for any significant period of time, to be under God, to guide their actions by his principles. Patrick Henry, who led the fight in Virginia against ratifying the Constitution and was a great defender of the Baptists who were persecuted in Virginia, even though he was in favor of a state church, understood this. And I quote Patrick Henry, and I have the source of my cite in God Betrayed. Where are your checks in this government? Your strongholds will be in the hands of your enemies. It is on the supposition that your American governors shall be honest that all the good qualities of this government are founded. But its defective and imperfect construction puts it in their power to perpetrate the worst of mischief should they be bad men. And, sir, would not all the world from the eastern to the western hemispheres blame our distracted folly in resting our rights upon the contingency of our rulers being good or bad? Show me that age and country where the rights and liberties of the people were placed on the sole chance of their rulers being good men without a consequent loss of liberty. My friends, I ask you, what are we seeing in America today? I love America. I know that America is the greatest nation that has ever existed. By the grace of God, I also realize that the Constitution is the greatest governing document that has ever been conceived by man. But a problem exists in America today, even amongst Christians, and maybe even especially amongst Christians. Christians have deified the Declaration of Independence and the Constitution of the United States of America. I do not want a constitutional convention to redo the Constitution of the United States of America, because if we ever have a new Constitution, I believe that it will be totally corrupted. I believe that God will be totally left out of it. I believe His principles will be totally left out of such a constitution.